everybody. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, people down the camera. Good morning, everyone. Grab a seat. Or come and stand. Oh, I hope you're all okay. Yeah, good. I'm going to start with reading from the Bible today. So let's just listen to the word. It's from Colossians. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Father God, we look upon your cross. We look upon the time that you spent with us on earth and the things that you did. Lord, we come before you this morning exactly as we were before we walked into this building, not pretending to be anything different. We bring our troubles, we bring our worries, and we bring the things that we're not sure of, and we place them before your cross. Let's sing together. Father God, we ask that you would be our vision. Make our path plain before us, clear as day, because we want to follow your path. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to pass on to Carol.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, that's great. Don't you just love spontaneous worship? It's brilliant. Very warm welcome to everyone this morning, and of course those of you who are watching on YouTube, it's good to be together. Thank you for the worship that we've had, the sung worship we've had so far. It's been really good, and David is going to be speaking to us shortly. Just a health and safety thing before I start. We've had a bit of a flood in the kitchen this morning. It's sorted now, but the floor might be a bit wet. I put a note on, but if you just be aware if you need to go in there. It's probably been dried by the end of the service, but there we go. Right, so notices for this coming week and the next few weeks. I think it might be easier to say what's not happening than what is, to be honest. No ladies meeting until September. The art play group, that's finished until the 5th of September. No Wednesday prayer walk during August. No men's breakfast and no prospects. But... Oh, I've no prayer and meditation as well, sorry about... Oh, I've got that down as well, sorry. That's the 4th of September that starts again, yeah. So that's the prayer and meditation. But the prayer meeting is going ahead on the first Saturday of August. And Jan has organised a summer club. Now, that's going to be every Tuesday afternoon, starting from the 1st of August, in the afternoon from 1 o'clock until 2:30. And it's for ages 0 to 6. Not to, oh, right. Oh, sorry. I thought you were a bit, yeah, sorry. You 0 to year 6, which is 11, is it? 11-ish, yeah. Right. It's 50 pence per child. There'll be crafts, games, refreshments. So if you need any more information, please do see Jan. And also on that same day is the monthly mini messy church. That's from 3:30 until 5. There are flyers at the back. If anyone needs more information, or of course, speak to Jan. And the lunch club, that's carrying on through the through the summer. So the next one is this coming Thursday on the 27th from 12 o'clock until about 2. An advance notice that I think I mentioned last week, on the 2nd and 3rd of September, it's our harvest weekend. We're having a coffee morning on the Saturday from 10 till 12, and then we will be having the harvest service the following day on the Sunday. As usual, website, Facebook page are all regularly updated. Please do get in touch with any of us if there's anything that you need during this coming week. I wonder if I were to ask people here today and on YouTube if they've ever been hurt or upset by the actions of others. I wonder how many there'd be. Quite a few, I suspect. It happens, doesn't it? It's life, and it comes in all shapes and forms, by word or actions or behaviour, but it's not nice. And just to redress the balance a little bit, we're all capable of hurting or offending others. Sadly, it's part of our human nature. We can actually be the perpetrators of hurt as well as victims. I think it's safe to say that the first word that comes to mind when we're hurt is revenge. To get our own back, to get even. It's a very powerful emotion, and it's usually provoked by anger. And can do so much harm. It even sounds sinister, doesn't it? Revenge. It sounds wrong. It's not a nice word. And it means, and the meaning is even worse. Something happened quite recently that hurt and upset me. I'm not going to go into details. It's not necessary. And I'm not sharing this out of self-pity or to get sympathy. I'm sharing this to acknowledge yet again our amazing God's faithfulness. The day after this happened, the verse for the day on YouVersion, which I use quite often, with a short commentary to go with it, was from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. And in it, Paul writes, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Always strive to do what's good for each other and for everyone else." Now, I really like the contemporary English version, and in there it says, "Don't be hateful to people just because they're hateful to you. Rather, be good to each other and to everyone else." That word hateful means nasty, unkind, mean. And these words are a lot like the words that we find, the words of Jesus that we find in Matthew 22, the second greatest commandment, which I'm sure you'll all know. Love others as much as you love yourself. Forgiving them and praying for them. It's a big ask, isn't it? But although God's ways may not always be easy, they can always be trusted because his ways are perfect, without fault. These words were just what I needed to hear, and once again, God's perfect timing. It's also a gentle reminder to me, not only of the Lord's faithfulness, but also that if we look to Jesus as a role model, we can get all the help we need. Do you remember WWJD? What would Jesus do? I think that's something that was around a few years ago. And I think that's always a good indication of what we should be doing. But unfortunately, what Jesus would do and what we would do are not always the same. As I said, it's not easy. But if we do our best to follow his example, we won't go far wrong. Thank you for listening. Julie, would you like to come for a read some scripture, please?
Good morning, everybody. I think the words that have been spoken today, I don't know for anybody else, but are really what I've needed to hear today. And yeah, it's really made me feel that God's with us in our journey, that he is our strong tower. And that we can hold fast to God. And he is just always there. Always working. Always there. So our reading today comes from Psalm 92. It's page 498 on the Church Bibles. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work, and the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand. That through the wicked sprout like grass, and the evildoers and all evildoers flourish. They are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. These are the words of the Lord. Before David comes up, I just want to pray over David. And I just want to pray that the words that he speaks speak into each and every one of our hearts. That through him, we will hear the word of the Lord. And that it will rest within us. And it will strengthen us. It will strengthen us as a community. It will strengthen us as people. It will soften our hearts and open our minds so that we can go out, even when we are tired, even when we are downhearted, and speak the good news of Jesus in our lives to each and everyone we meet. Amen.
Thanks. Well, I extend my good morning to you all as well, and thanks for the sung worshiping word this morning already. It's good that we share. It's good that we acknowledge where we are in life, the things that affect us. But it's also good then to bring forth how God is working in and through our lives, because there's the difference. There's the challenges when we face them, that we see God at work, helping us through those difficult times, as we go through those valleys, as we go through the peaks and through the troughs of life, through the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs. Where do we see God at work? And we've spoken about that many times before. So hold on to the word of God. Hold on to his truth. Hold on to those words that we've sung this morning already, that we are no longer slaves to fear, but we are children of God. Speak into that and seek God in that through your prayers, through your conversations, and through your attitudes and behaviours in life. And it carries a long way. Thanks for reading Psalm 92 this morning. As you know, we're looking at the study in the Psalms throughout this summer period, if you like. And today we want to be looking at this, where it speaks about the Sabbath, a day of rest and reflection. Now, if I was to ask how many of us take a day of Sabbath, probably not many. Probably not many. You may be sat there thinking, well, I do. But is it truly a day of Sabbath? Is it truly devoted to union with God and nothing else? Possibly not. And that's not a criticism, because I'll hold my hand up and say exactly the same. That do I truly hold a day of Sabbath? Not often. Not as much as I should. But this concept of Sabbath, if you like, this day of rest and reflection, has that integral part of various religions, traditions throughout history. And with that, it serves as a vital reminder to slow down, to rejuvenate, and to reconnect oneself with divine. This is purpose. But as we see in our biblical context here, what we have is a book of Psalms. It holds this wealth of wisdom and spiritual insight, including this of these words in this psalm. It celebrates the importance of Sabbath and it emphasizes its significance in cultivating gratitude, worship, and most importantly, spiritual growth. Because if we're not spending time in rest and relaxation and restoration with God and seeking Him for that, then how are we growing? Who is it exactly that we're serving, may ask the bigger question, if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's take a deeper look into this observance of Sabbath, if you like, because as you know, you go back at the beginning and you see in Genesis where God orders a beautiful world out of chaotic darkness and within a sequence of 6 days. Now let's not go down into the theological arguments of whether it is a realistic 6 days or not, or whatever it is. You're missing the bigger point here. It's the fact that God created a beautiful world out of chaos and darkness within this sequence of 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rests. And this introduces a major biblical theme in the patterns of sevens throughout the whole of Scripture. And it concludes with God and humanity, humans, resting together as partners. And when you read throughout Scripture, you see that there's that partnership. As we alluded to earlier, we're sons and daughters, heirs and graces of that internal inheritance, that there's a partnership here. Not a separation. As I often say, we don't work and walk for God, but we work and walk with God, hand in hand, together. And so for some 3,000 years, the ancient Israelites, if you like, and later Jews, observed the Sabbath day, or Shabbat. But what does the observance of Shabbat look like? Well, as many of you may know, Friday afternoons are spent bustling and hurrying along to make preparations before sunset, last-minute shopping, food prep, cleaning, getting animals settled, children ready, animals ready and children settled, whichever way you want to view them. And then at sunset, everyone gathers around a table lit with candles and say a prayer. And that prayer is something like this. Blessed are you, God, ruler of the universe, who sanctified us with the commandment of lighting Shabbat candles. And then the next 24 hours are spent eating, singing and praying. It'll start Saturday morning, where you'll wake up and you go to the synagogue and you'll hear the Torah and the prophets read aloud. You'll likely hear an exhortation on scriptures to love God and to serve your neighbour and community. After that, you'll head home with family and neighbourhood friends. And then come Saturday evening, there will be celebrations and meals and welcoming the eighth day. And so this eighth day, if you like, is the first day of the new week. It is full of opportunities. So why is the Sabbath observed so carefully and consistently by the Jewish people? I think simply to say, and as you'll know, it's there because it's one of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses for Israel to obey. Simply haven't got time to go into the ins and outs and the deeper meaning of the number seven and Sabbath, but it links, as you know, is this ancient Israel history of the exile, the restoration of Sabbath and Jubilee cycles, but also that of liberation and so on. But back to our passage. And what we see here at the beginning is this delightful day of rest. It opens with this affirmation where it says, it is good to declare your steadfast love in the morning, your faithfulness by night. The psalmist here is highlighting and setting the tone, if you like, for that joy and gratitude that accompanies the observance of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day when believers are encouraged to pause and reflect on the goodness of God, expressing their gratitude through songs and prayers. And furthermore, we see no different that the psalmist continues to describe the Sabbath as a time of declare that steadfast love and faithfulness of God, as it says there. We can simply flourish in God's presence, can we not? We can simply see that God is to be glorified, that God is to be worshipped. But how do we do that in the busyness of life? Well, I think the psalmist here emphasizes that spiritual growth comes from observing the Sabbath. It comes in a time where it employs the metaphor of flourishing, like the palm tree, illustrating the blessedness of those who dwell in the presence of God, as you'll see in verse 12. As it says, just as the palm tree stands tall and strong, even in adverse conditions. And so those who observe and honour the Sabbath can thrive spiritually, being rooted in the relationship with God. So it serves as purpose. And furthermore, as we see there, it says that they can still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and greenery. This imagery, it suggests that the Sabbath provides nourishment. It suggests that it provides that nourishment and rejuvenation for the soul, allowing believers to continuously grow. Here's the main points it's bringing out. It's to continually grow, for the soul to be rejuvenated, to set aside time and to rest and reflect, and so that we can replenish that inner strength, if you like, enabling to serve others more effectively and live a more purposeful life with God in that relationship. And in doing so, then we recognize God's sovereignty and justice. And Psalm 92 also underscores that importance of recognizing this. It recognizes God's sovereignty and justice, particularly in the context of the Sabbath. Because the psalmist here is acknowledging that the Lord is exalted forever, that his enemies will perish. And that later reminds us, as it serves as a caution against neglecting the observance of Sabbath. For failing to honour this day of rest can lead, of course, to a disregard for God's authority and justice. In another sense of what the Bible says, if we're not being obedient to God's will and way, then we're being disobedient. And moreover, the psalmist proclaims that the wicked may flourish temporarily, but ultimately will face destruction. And so this verse here reminds us that even in a world marred by injustice, the observance of Sabbath offers solace, it offers hope, but it also reassures that God is the ultimate judge and where he will restore righteousness and justice in due time. Now, you may be sat there thinking, well, that's all very good, but we're not Jewish. We're not of that faith. We don't observe that. We don't have to. Our faith comes from and rests in Jesus Christ, the very one that these people rejected, that put him to death upon the cross, where he truly died, but then where he truly rose again 3 days later through the awesome power of resurrection, because he is alive and reigns forevermore. Amen. So what about us today then? Can we? Should we observe Sabbath in the same way? Some say no. Some say no because at the beginning of the second century, the church father, Ignatius of Antioch, actually approved non-observance of the Sabbath. Majority of Christian practice today, if you like, is to observe Sunday called the Lord's Day. So straight away, you can see a difference between Shabbat of the ancient Israelite Jewish culture and what we have today as the Lord's Day. Two completely different days. Saturday for the Jewish tradition, Sunday of the Lord's Day in a Christian tradition. But it also begs the bigger question of, does it matter what day? If indeed we do dedicate a day of Sabbath rest and unity and restoration with God in relationship so that we may grow spiritually. Well, I think as we see, Sabbath is not the commandment that we're bound to, but actually it is something that we're promised to invite and enjoy. It's something that we're invited to. It's where Sabbath rests as an invitation to practice for eternity in God's presence. Whereas you go to the end of Scripture where it says there will be no more tears, there will be no more sadness, there will be no more pain, but there will be eternal bliss where we are in constant Sabbath and relationship with God. It's an act of regular, intentional trust of God's rule on earth. And furthermore, in line with the ideas of 16th and 17th century Puritans and Presbyterians, Congregationalists, as well as the Methodist and Baptist churches, they enshrined first-day Sabbatarian views, if you like, in their confessions of faith, observing the Lord's Day as the Christian Sabbath. And so while practices may differ widely amongst individuals, denominations, movements, that common first-day Sabbatarian observance, that practice, if you like, included attending morning and evening services, receiving preparation for baptism or confirmation, but also in preparation for Sunday school and the Lord's Day, taking off the Lord's Day from labour. I guess more stricter interpretation would avoid or even prohibit at those times certain activities taking place on Sunday, such as eating in restaurants, shopping, using public transport, participating in sporting events, watching television or consuming otherwise acceptable media, even the use of internet. Well, that's us stuffed because we're live streaming. Who's off out for dinner later? Who needs to go shopping and get the bits you may have forgot? Are we terrible? Have we got it all wrong? I don't think so. It's not to downplay this, but I think we're missing the bigger picture. When are we taking time out individually to observe God? Do we take a full day out to do that? To be in unity? To seek rest and rejuvenation, to put aside all the busyness and the chaos of life, the hurts and the pains, the wants and the needs, the voices that try and shout louder. And do we come and just simply be with God, wherever, however that may be? Times have changed, of course they have. I'm not dismissing what happened some 3,000 years ago, but what I say that we stand on this side of the cross and we look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It's that relationship that he's concerned about, that we come to him. And in doing so, we come to the Father. And in doing so, we come into that beautiful relationship through power of Holy Spirit. And we observe and we grow spiritually, mentally. You see that at the end of the Old Testament story, they're left waiting for the Anointed One to come and rescue Israel. And when Jesus begins his ministry, he makes it abundantly clear that he is the long-awaited Messiah. You read the words in Matthew chapter 11, if you want to turn there, you'll know these words well. It records these Sabbath controversies, where it says, Jesus, after quoting the words about rest, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is what it looks like to come before Jesus, to seek him, to be in that time of rest and rejuvenation, if you like. You see, we know Jesus healed on the Sabbath. To the Jewish people, Shabbat is rest from work. But Jesus worked on Sabbath. Jesus comes and sees that the people have become weary and burdened by the heavy weight of observing the laws of Sabbath. And following the letter of the law, he sees that they're missing God's intent behind that command. You see, what they see is that Jesus wants to clarify that meaning of Sabbath for them. He wants to show them that it's about unity with God. We see that the people need to rest to stop hard work, as it says, the Shabbat, and to be present with God, Nuach. So they rest of Shabbat and in presence with God in that Nuach. And this is Jesus here ushering in that full promise. He is God's rest, and the people can come to him and find true seventh-day rest that God intended. I think what's happened over the centuries is it's been hung up on a day. And it's been clouded and misjudged by the hustle and bustle and life and the changes in laws that we find in this country. You go back years ago, there wouldn't have been one shop open on a Sunday. Now you can have anything, can go anywhere you want, whenever you want, 24/7 sometimes. How then do we observe Sabbath? See, Jesus reminds us. He reminds God's people of the original intention for Sabbath, that unity with God, that time with creation and each other. Jesus simply teaches that Sabbath points to him. The one Israel prophets promised will come to mercifully restore the rhythm of all creation. And when he did, they rejected him and killed him. But yet, as followers of Jesus, when we observe Sabbath, if you like, we live as if restoration's already taken place. That he has come and will come again. And that we take a break from the broken rhythms of hustle and bustle and hardship of life, to set time aside to honour Jesus' rule and enjoy his presence. To enjoy it. It's not a chore. It's not something you have to endure, but it's something you want to do and enjoy. And in that, in his presence, extend that rest to the world around as well. When we trust God's invitation to come to him, and when we see that we can just truly rest, we become places where his presence can dwell. I've said many times, when we're often waiting for God to act, it's not that we're waiting for him to act, it's that he's waiting us to make the move. And so to enjoy rest, to enjoy spiritual growth, maybe there's something we need to change. Maybe there's something we need to do, to put aside. So what does all this look like in practice for modern day followers of Christ? What does it look like for you and I? Well, does it mean attending a weekly church service, turning off work emails, volunteering in your community? As I said before, does it matter what day you observe Sabbath? But the fact that we should. Sabbath day could certainly include these activities, but the whole of the biblical story seems to emphasize the purpose of the Sabbath rather than the specific rules for observing it. We need to look at the purpose of it, the reason behind it. God does not expect us to live by Israel's laws. However, the wisdom of these laws remain, let's not forget that. But that the law of the Sabbath is rich with significance for today, because it's not a commandment that we're bound to, but it's a promise that we're invited to enjoy. It's not a commandment that we're bound to, but a promise we're invited to enjoy. And it's God that holds his hand out and says, come. It's where Jesus reminds us to say, come, all who are weary and burdened. Come and take my yoke, for it is light and easy. Come and I will give you rest. Sabbath rest is an invitation to practice for eternity in God's presence, an act of regular and intentional trust of God's rule here on earth and in our lives. And through that, we should maybe Shabbat in order to Nuach, when we stop working, to truly rest in God's presence. And to do that, when we practice these purposeful pauses, if you like, making more room for God in our hearts, making more room for him to take up residence in our individual lives and within community, to be in that union together. And when we're doing that, we're taking part in the new creational story, setting the stage for God to make his dwelling place on earth once again, for when he comes again. Psalm 92, as I said, offers a lot of wisdom. It provides valuable insights into the observance of Sabbath, highlighting its significance in spiritual life. But it also should encourage us to embrace a Sabbath day. Notice I said a Sabbath day, not the Sabbath day. Sometimes we may have to work on Sundays. We have to provide, we have to earn a living, we have to work and do things. So if we're able to afford a Sabbath day, bringing about rest and rejuvenation, we emerge that day with that rest and gratitude and worship where we can find joy and delight in God's presence. Try it and see the difference in your lives. That's the change that sometimes you need to make, because sometimes you need to be the change. And God observes that, and God sees that, and God will work even more, because we can experience that spiritual growth parallel to the flourishing, if you like, of the palm tree, remaining fresh and fruitful in that relationship. Observances of Sabbath should reflect the core idea that the ultimate goal, if you like, the ultimate goal is that reign and rule of God has already been launched. And if God is at work renewing creation, what does that mean for us to participate in that for the rest of our lives until that day when either we're called home or Christ comes back? Let me finish with this. Sabbath serves, if you like, as a vital reminder of those divine attributes and encourages us to align our lives with God's will. Not our will for God to align with us, but for us to align with God's will, his purpose, his plans. So let's reflect on these words of these Psalms. Embrace the Sabbath as a precious gift and cultivate a spirit of gratitude, of worship, and of growth in our lives as we continue to seek and create a space for God within ourselves, within our church family, and within our community with hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we simply ask this day, would you give us the grace to keep a day when we can observe all that we are, all that we will ever be, that it is centered around you, that we rest in your presence with not just an aimless rest, but one that deeply replenishes and renourishes and brings about that spiritual growth. May it be all about you as we seek a deeper relationship with you. In the mighty name and for all the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.
At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.